You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM. Gary Capewell, Will Smith and Andrew Mount, the team in the studio, for a good afternoon of jumping, Ascot Catterick and Force Lass. And the usual Friday evening all-weather fare as well. Newcastle and Dundalk, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Friday's esteemed presenter, Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you. Mark, yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right. You had to think about it for a second, eh?
Yeah, well, it's deep in thought.
You are such a studious man, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going to look ahead to the best of the weekend action, because it is a belting weekend of racing coming up. We're going to get some selections for Friday as well from Gary, but before we do, a little glance at one of Thursday's highlights. As Footpad made a winning return, he went on to win that listed chase at Thurles by 10 lengths. Pretty impressive as he returned with a bang.
And it is Footpad on the stand side, the leader from Marlow Beach. The pair are way out in front of Jets and Balcony Flow. And with one fence left to jump, it is Footpad, a brilliant novice. A couple of seasons ago, comes towards the last. Footpad, Daryl Jacob over from Marlow Beach in second, well clear of the others. And running up to the finish, Footpad will return with a win of Swagger.
Yeah. 10-length success, Gary, pretty easy stuff. He is better than a listed animal, so it's no surprise to see him go on and win like that. It shows that perhaps he's ready to get over last season, because it was a disappointment, wasn't it?
He was, and obviously his main market rival was Balcony Flow. It was very disappointing for whatever reason on Thursday afternoon, but he could do no more than win, and he rather tanked his way through the races. It was a little bit more like the old Footpad, wasn't it, that we'd seen when he won so impressively the Arkle Chase and at Punchestown, those two grade ones at the back end of 2017. Last season, obviously, things didn't go according to plan. Obviously, I believe he bled as well, and he was well beaten in the Ryanair Chase when we'd last seen him, but that was a lot more like the old Footpad. Obviously, that was, what, over 2 miles 6. Obviously, they ran him in the Ryanair Chase last year. There was talk about him meeting Altior at the Queen Mother Champion Chase, wasn't there, after his sparkling victory in the Arkle. Things obviously didn't go to plan. They've got options now. I mean, obviously, they've learnt to restrain him a little bit more, because obviously he teared off when he won the Arkle. They never looked like getting near him, did they? But and obviously, you know, he's got an entry in the John Durkin, he's got an entry in the King George. Obviously, there are plenty of races around the Christmas period over in Ireland for him as well. Where do you go with him next? I've not seen any quotes as to where he may well go, but it's interesting to see where he may well go. Personally, if he was mine, I think I'd run him in the King George, but obviously Willie's got plenty of other horses that may well run, and obviously we'll see what happens with Bristol Domai this weekend, but obviously, you know, Isaac Swade and Simon Muneer also have plenty of other horses that may go down that route. So interesting problems to have, but it was just good to see him bounce back to something like his best.
14-1 for the King George, the sixth chase, by the way, Footpad, if you fancy him for that. And then talking Cheltenham, he's 12-1 for the Ryanair, and he's 25-1 for the Gold Cup. Good to see him back to winning ways, and hopefully we'll see the best of him this season, because prior to November last year, he looked something of a world-beater, didn't he? So hopefully that's him back on the right track. We've got some spectacular racing to look forward to at the weekend. You just mentioned Bristol Domai there, Gary. He is the favourite for the Betfair Chase. He's 6-5 at the top of the market, bidding for a third success in 3 years in the race. Haydock in testing conditions is his preferred option, if you like. But he takes on Lost in Translation, who looks a pretty exciting prospect, the 13-8 second favourite. And Frodon, who I'm sure a lot of people... he's one of their favourite horses, if you like, because he's a bit of an underdog that keeps winning stuff, isn't he? He's 9-2, 12-1 Ballyoptic, who's not given much of a chance in the betting there. But those top three in the market would all be worthy winners of a Betfair Chase.
Very much so. The ground's officially, what, good to soft at Haydock, and I'm not sure how much more rain is forecast, but we shouldn't forget that Bristol Domai absolutely romped home in this race on good ground last year. So, you know, I think it was more the track, perhaps, maybe more so rather than the ground for me, the key thing with this horse. And the other thing to consider with Haydock is they've redone their fences this year. They've got different birch in them to what they had before. They used quite a dark birch in to pack their fences in previous years, and that has often meant, if we had that conversation sort of this time last year, they were often, when they'd been rained on, got quite stiff and stood up quite a little bit, didn't they? Which Bristol Demai, his jumping was his main asset, and it got quite a lot of horses around here out of their comfort zones, and that was probably the thinking behind why it was his track. Different birch, different sort of later the fence may well mean that it's perhaps not as much of an advantage as it maybe could have been. I mean, we're nitpicking it, but it is something to consider, because that is something that may well have an effect on the outcome of the race. Frodon, we obviously saw on his seasonal, well, we should point out actually, Bristol Demai is making his seasonal reappearance in this race. I mean, the last, 2 years, I mean, he'd run in the Charlie Hall 2 years ago, but he went there fresh actually last year. That was because they couldn't get her into him because the ground they didn't think was suitable. But and also, you know, we have to remember he finished third in the Gold Cup at a fair price, and he was a bit disappointing, to be fair, at Aintree, but maybe he'd had enough by then. Lost in Translation, obviously the up-and-coming horse who was second in the JLT chase before outstaying top of the game in the Mildmain Novices chase at the Grand National meeting. He obviously was impressive with how he jumped well and sort of had a jog round to win a listed race at Carlisle the other day. Interestingly, Nigel Twiston Davis had the second in that race, Count Merribell, who ran okay to a point at Cheltenham last week, but obviously I should imagine Bristol Demai, the connections will think that he's 2¼ lengths better than Count Merribell, if not more. But he's the up-and-coming horse. I think he'll definitely stay. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. Frodon, obviously, he was third at Aintree, where obviously they didn't jump the fence, did they, in the home straight. I just wonder whether Cheltenham might well sort of be his track, really. I mean, obviously, you know, he won the Defy Top Weight to win the Caspian Caviar in December. He then won the Cotswold Chase, proving that he stays this far. And obviously, he won the Ryanair, but he was, you know, extremely game in the process. Obviously, you know, he likes to be ridden prominently, as too does Bristol Demai. So, be interestingly tactically how this race pans out. We should give Bally Optic a mention as well, because for me, he would have gone close to, he would have certainly been in the frame in the Grand National if he hadn't fallen at the fourth last. I don't think he'd have beaten Tiger Roll, in fairness. But he came out and he's won at Chepstow, and then obviously he won the Charlie Hall, albeit it turned into a bit of a slog and sort of how much that might have taken out of him. But crucially, nowadays, his jumping's got a bit better. I think he hit one or two on the way around at Wetherby when he won. But it's obviously there's only four of them, but tactically a couple of them like to make the running, so I don't think hopefully we won't get too much of a falsely run race. I want to have a look at see what those fences are like before committing, but this is Bristol Demise in effect. You know, he's a good horse elsewhere, but he's better at Haydock than anywhere else. But if you're taking too short a price, I would have the proviso that I want to see how those fences, how they may well ride, and have a look at proper look at them before getting involved.
So Bristol Demai at the moment, if it became a bit more of a speed test rather than a jump test, then if the fences aren't quite as stiff, who would that suit?
Probably Frodon and Lost in Translation more than the Twist and Davis pair, that is for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, the prices that they are, I think they're about right. I think Bristol Demai might have drifted a little bit, and that would probably make him a bet. But again, I still want to have a look at what the fences are like first.
The other big race on Saturday, the very big race on Saturday, is the matchup between Altior and Surname at Ascot in the 1965 chase, a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Altior 8-13 at the time of recording this, 11-8 Surname. It's 12-1 top notch, 33s bar those. First of all, before we even talk about form and who's going to win it, what a potential matchup this is. This is two heavyweights taking each other on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not something you usually see too early on in the season either, is it? But thankfully, you know, Connections are happy to let both these horses, you know, take each other on. Obviously, Surname is the highest rated chaser in training, and that was basically on the back of two victories here last season. The last of those, well, both of them were just unbelievable races to watch, weren't they? Just went out and never sort of looked like being caught. The most recent one coming in Grade One Company, you know, winning by 17 lengths, and obviously before that he'd won by 21 lengths in Handicap Company. The thing to mention about Surname is, and it has to be a little bit of a concern, is he's never won fresh before. I mean, you look at his record, he came over to Ascot, it was this meeting he ran at in 2016 on his UK debut, he was a well-beaten favourite, he finished fifth. After that, his record fresh, he finished 7th of 12 at Chepstow, and last season he was 3rd of 5 in a small field race at Carlisle, the race actually that Lost in Translation won last year. So obviously I know for a fact that he's been away for racecourse gallops. This is his track, these are his ideal conditions, but we, you know, that record fresh has to be a slight concern. And he comes up against a horse who has won 18 or 19 races, whatever it is, on the spin.
19
on the spin. He's one of these horses that you keep looking at, a little bit like Stradivarius to a certain degree, that you keep wanting to try and pick holes in because he doesn't do anything that flashy. He does enough. But crucially, you look at his record fresh, and fresh, for me, is the best time to catch him. He won the Tingle Creek by 4 lengths from under so on his seasonal reappearance last year. The season before that, what did he win before that? It was Kempton. It was just a small field in that novice race, but he put Black Quarter in his place in no uncertain terms. And was it 2017? It was Newbury, so he had an issue, didn't he? But he beat Politolog by 4 lengths before winning the champion chase, beating Min very impressively. He goes well fresh, and obviously there's that slight concern about what happened last year when he was out jumping to the left in the Clarence House chase, giving away lots of ground, but he had to make his own running really that day, and he'll have something to chase this time. Obviously he steps up in trip, but I'm loath to oppose a horse who's won 19 times on the spin.
It's hard, isn't it, to take on a horse that's just a winning machine.
Exactly. So, I just couldn't oppose him.
I'd like to see him win as well, because this is obviously him stepping up to 2 mile 5. If he then goes and wins this impressively, then it opens up a whole new world of what we could see him do later on in the season, rather than just going to the 2 mile big events. He can go to King George, or he can go to, you know, even you're looking at Gold Cups maybe and stuff.
Possibly.
In the future, so.
I mean, the way that he is very strong through the finish over 2 miles and some stiff 2 miles, you do ultimately think that this sort of test will suit him. And the quicker Surname goes, I just think, you know, he'll get a lovely toe through the race. Obviously, both horses, I'm sure, Connections will leave a little bit to work on. That's just how both trainers operate. But as I say, I'm loath to oppose a horse who's won 19 times on the spin.
You could just see, can't you, coming to the last or two out or whatever. Surname's been out in front for a long time. If Altio's ranging up there, then what a finish we're going to have. Really looking forward to that on Saturday. And it is quite curious that a horse that's won 19 in a row, and number of those being grade one successes, can be rated lower than Surname. It's a bizarre little quirk in the ratings, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But what a matchup that's going to be on Saturday. And of course, you can hear all of Saturday's action live here on William Hill Racing Radio. The same applies to Friday. We've got racing at Ascot on Friday as well. Gary's got a couple of races for us where he's going to give us his selections. The 240 is the first of them. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. The King's Writ is the 11-4 favourite, 100-30 Sky Pirate. Didero Valley is 4-1, 6-1 for Mr. Medic. 13-2 Flying Angel, 10-1 KF Blanco, and 16s or bigger for the remainder. That's how it stands at the time of recording this. The King's Writ at the top of the market, returning from 258 days off the track. Last seen finishing second, a beaten favourite in second at Sandown back in March. should he be 11-4 favourite for this guy?
I think he's short enough. I think there's more to come from this fairly lightly raced 8-year-old. He's only had, 12 career starts. He's obviously won a couple of times over fences, but he's also fallen a couple of times as well, which would be maybe a little bit of a concern. And indeed, he fell actually on his seasonal reappearance last year. First run, obviously, since March, as you point out. It's that piece of form behind Cyril Duloc, at Cheltenham in January, which is sort of probably the reason why he's favourite. It's interesting to see this horse has got an entry in the Welsh National as well. So, obviously, that may well be a long-term target. But I don't know. For me, he's probably short enough.
What do you go with? Do you take him on then?
You've got to take him on. And I will actually, bizarrely, take him on with a horse who actually fell on his most recent outing. Sky Pirate, who actually fell at Wetherby, but he was closing on the leader that day. That was back on the 16th of October. He was making headway. He fell at the first fence in the home straight at the fourth last. That was on his seasonal reappearance. Again, I get the impression there's a lot more to come from this horse. He, too, has only had the 12 career starts. And I'd say there'll be more to come from this horse this campaign. John Joe O'Neill Jr. takes the ride. And the fact that it's decent ground at Ascot is a big plus. I think it's officially described as good, isn't it? So that will help.
Good to soft now.
Good to soft. Maybe had a bit of rain, okay. But even still, it's not going to be massively testing, is it, thankfully? But this horse obviously has had the benefit of a run, and quite a lot of the others are making their seasonal reappearances. So I'm going to go for Sky Pirate for the O'Neills to take that chase there at 2:40.
132nd favourite at the time of recording this, Sky Pirate, the selection for Gary in the 2:40 at Ascot. The 3:15 is a handicap chase over 3 miles, very competitive. This has well got a field of 14 at the time of recording. Good news is we're paying 4 places each way, so an extra place to aim at here at William Hill. Orchardstown Cross, the 11-2 favourite. Cloth Cap is 6-1 with Dragon d'Estraval. King of Realms is 6-1, 7-1 for Coningsby, 7-1 for Rikers Island, 8s for Diplomat Civola, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. That extra place might prove quite handy here, Gary, because this is wide open.
Wide open. We'll begin with the Nicky Henderson horse, Dragon d'Estraval, who's got an entry in the Beecher Chase and also in the Grand Sefton Chase. This is a horse who obviously came over from France. He did win last season back at Force Lass, and then they sort of upped him up in grade, and he was a little bit sort of he didn't really progress perhaps as they thought. Obviously, he's had the one start over fences over here. That was in a decent race at Perth, where he finished third during the summer. He'd had a wind operation prior to that. Just wonder whether, I mean, he could be well handicapped, he could be terribly handicapped. We don't really 100% know where we are with him, so I think I'd pass him over. Orchardstown Cross is a horse who's got a great attitude. Won a couple of times at Taunton and Newbury last season, and was a winner at Exeter on his seasonal reappearance as well, beating Dancing Shadow. Handicap has not missed him, but I don't think we've quite got to the bottom of him yet. Cloth Cap is a horse that I like. He's got an entry in the old, what would be formerly known as the Hennessy. And obviously he finished fourth behind Ballyoptic at Chepstow on his seasonal reappearance, when a bad mistake down the home straight rather put pay to any chance that he had. He'd been quite progressive prior to that mishap, and that was his seasonal reappearance, and I'm sure he will have benefited for it. Likewise, Rikers Island, who finished fourth at Exeter on his seasonal reappearance, when he shaped as though he needed the run, he was a bit disappointing at Aintree on his final start last year as well, so he's got to bounce back from that. But I'm going to go for the Ian Williams trained runner here, King of Realms. This is a horse who won actually at this corresponding meeting last year, where he was over this course and distance. It was in novice handicap company. After that, he ran at Doncaster and finished last, but that was a big step up in grade for him, really. He didn't really get the run of things that particular day. He ran at Exeter after that, finishing second, just behind Samuel Jackson, who just outstayed him on that occasion. But he made all when winning at Warwick on his most recent outing, and if he can get into a nice jumping rhythm at Ascot. I think he might be difficult to pay back. He's probably not the only front runner in the lineup. But the Arts horses are in good form. They had a, they've had a couple of winners this week. They might have had one at Warwick. They certainly had one at Kempton, I think. So the Yard have been ticking along okay. So I'll take a chance on King of Realms at that 3.15.
Yeah, you take out that run at Doncaster, which wasn't a grade two.
Mm.
He's pretty consistent and he's won a
couple. I was there that day and I seem to remember him making a really, really bad mistake at one of the fences as well. So yeah. That sort of maybe put pay to any chance that he had. But getting into a nice jumping rhythm around Ascot will hopefully seem difficult to peg back.
King of Realms, 6-1 in the market at the time recording this. The selection for Gary in that 3.15. That goes along with his pick in the 2.40, which is Sky Pirate. Best of luck, Gary. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Hope you enjoy it on Friday. There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 p.m. Gary Capewell, Will Smith and Andrew Mount, the team in the studio. Ascot, Catterick and Force last in the afternoon. Newcastle and Dundalk in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.